Well, I'm excited to start a new series this morning that I'm simply just calling prayer. And really what I'm going to do over the next few weeks is just share with you some of my favorite prayers in the Bible. I feel like prayer is just a focus that we need right now as we start a new school year, as we step into this new season here in our community and at The Rock. And so it's going to be an exciting series. I hope you come for all of them. I'm going to even have some special guests along the way to begin to share also their what prayer means in their life as well. So it's going to be a great series. And literally today what I'm going to do is just give you my prayer for you. This is my prayer for you. And I'm going to pray for you every day this through this series, this prayer. It's my deepest hope for you. It's something I really want to see God do in your life, and so I'm very excited about it. The passage of Scripture that I'm getting ready to share with you is an actual prayer in the Bible. It's a prayer by Paul to the church of Ephesus. Of course, the Bible talks a lot about prayer, and it encourages us to pray, but it doesn't give us very many examples of prayer. It's only really a handful of those, but this is an actual prayer. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll begin to look at this prayer, which is really my prayer for you over these next several weeks. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start with verse 16. It says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Let me just say that. I have not stopped giving thanks for you guys, for the way that you pour into our lives and the way you love us. And so this is, again, my prayer to you. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I want to just stop right there. What Paul is saying is, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. First of all, that you could just see this, that you would get this spirit of wisdom and revelation. I want to say to you that probably the greatest gift that I can give you as a pastor is clarity. To share in such a way that you really begin to have some revelation. You really begin to have some, you begin to see it, right? The one of the things that I try to do every single week as I come and I share with you and I bring these messages to you, one thing I try to do is that you'll come to a place, that you'll come to a place where you go, all of a sudden, you know, you'll go, oh yeah, I get it, right? I get it, Monty. I can see it for the very first time. And that's why I try so hard to make the Scriptures really come alive. I try really hard to do that because I want you to have clarity. Because I really believe, and I want you to hear this, that if you have a clarity of life, if you really begin to see, you know, so if you know what to do, right? If you know what life is all about, if you know where you fit in life, if you know what God's plan for your life really is, you know, if you have some clarity in that, it fixes a lot of problems. When you can see things clearly. And that's why Paul starts right off the bat. I'm just praying that you would have both wisdom and revelation so that you can see and you can understand. And then he kind of lists four things that he's praying for. And the first one is this: so that you may know him better. That you can just know him better, right? Paul said, I just wish you could know God. To which Paul was saying, everything starts there. Everything starts in your authentic relationship with God. That I just want you to know him. I want you to have this great relationship with God. And so here's how you can apply that if you're, you know, today. If you're here today and you don't know God, well, you can leave here today in a relationship with God himself. And then many of you, you're already in that relationship. And so my prayer is that you would know him better. That you would know him better. And really, that's my job. Every Sunday, I just want to have, you know, help you to have a deeper, closer walk with your God. And there's a reason. Because everything starts there. And then you can begin to experience these next three things that he kind of lists in this passage. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Do y'all hear a ring there? Can we maybe bring that down a little bit, Jerry, please, sir? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I don't know if you ever realized this or not, but your heart has eyes. In other words, your heart, I think, is a filter of how you're seeing things. And your heart is where you're holding stuff. It's where you're holding issues and, you know, and hurts and wounds and experiences, good and bad. It's all being held right here, right? So before you can see anything in life, it has to go through the filter of the eyes of your heart. So Paul comes along and he says, first you got to know God. I just want you to get you in this relationship with God. And if you already know Him, to make it your goal to know Him better. But the next thing you need to work on is that your heart needs to get rid of all that pollution, those issues, because it's cloudy, right? If it's cloudy, you can't see through it clearly. You can't begin to grow. So he says, I'm praying that the eyes of your heart are enlightened. I want your heart to come alive. And then he says, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. So in other words, if you don't get your heart clear, you'll never see the calling that God has for your life. And I can hear you now. You say, whoa, hold on there, Monty. I'm not called. You're the one that's called. You're the minister, right? You're the minister, not me. No. Listen. Every person that God ever created, every believer has a call on their life. And I think sometimes a lot of us never see it because we never get our heart clear. So it'd be kind of like a smudge on your glasses, right? You can't see tomorrow because you have so much junk from yesterday. So this is my prayer for you, God, for the people of the Rock. Just let them know you. God, let them get close to you. Not just on Sunday. I want you to know God on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, right? The whole week, to have a relationship with God. To get excited about the journey that God wants to take you on. That you know Him. Your heart is so clear that you may know the hope to which He has called you. That when you find your calling, it brings hope in your life. Someone once said, there's two great days in your life. The day you were born and the day you figured out why you were born. And there's a hope connected to that. So that I can live my life now because I know why I'm here. And that's what he's saying, that you can know the hope to which he has called you. Then the last part of the prayer is that you can also have the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And that means everything that God has for you, you can have. So if we're honest, almost none of us, right, myself included, haven't fully received the full inheritance that God has in his holy people. And so at this point, he says, I've got something for you. I want you to know me. I want you to get your heart cleared up. I want you to find this calling that's on your life so that you can live out the fullness of what God has for your life. And you can't even do that alone. You've got to do that, you know, with his people, with the holy people, with his church. You've got to do that in the group that he's placed you in. Look at this prayer out of the Message Bible. The Message is, you know, again, not a translation. It's a paraphrase. But it helps us to really understand the Bible sometimes a little bit better. And so here's Ephesians 1:16 in the Message. It says, I ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing Him personally. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what He is calling you to do. To grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for his followers. And so I'm praying for you, and I'm praying that you could see all these, all the things that God wants to do in you, and that you really begin to understand the steps to take. And so here's how I want to apply this morning. It's a very practical application. I'm just going to walk down it one more time. And this is my prayer for you. My prayer for you is that you will, first of all, really know God, that you may know Him personally. For example, Tim Tebow could walk into this room, right? And, you know, and I know him, right? I know Tim Tebow. I've been in the same room with him. But I know him, but he don't know me, right? He don't know me. We don't have a relationship at all. But now Kim and I are different, right? I mean, there's an intimacy here. I know her. She knows me, right? And that's another message for another time. But you know what I mean? I'm just going to stop right there. There's an intimacy there. There's intimacy. I always say this. Intimacy to me means into me see. And so Kim and I, we have the relationship where we get to look into each other's hearts and really get to know each other in that very intimate way. She gets to into me see and see my heart and the things that, about me, and I get to look into her heart. And it's the same in our relationship with God. He wants there to be this closeness, right? He wants us to have with him, that you might know him personally, a spiritual intimacy, so that you can look into the very heart of God and allow him to reveal himself to you so that you can get to know him and his character better. He can look into your heart and begin to help you kind of clear up some of those things in your heart, know your heart. There's an intimacy, and it's important that we really know God, because look at the warning that Jesus gives in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?'" And one of the saddest verses in the Bible says, "Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. I never knew you.'" Listen, we can know a lot about him. We can even do a lot of things. But do we know him? It's, I call it this 18-inch journey, right? 18-inch journey from your brain to your heart, right? The 18-inch journey is where we are closing the gap between what we know about God in our heads and who we believe him to be in our hearts. And this journey is so important because we live in a culture of distraction, right? A culture where, where we experience burnout and spiritual fatigue. And this 18-inch journey that I want us to travel, is just, I want it so much to equip you to tend to your inner life, to walk in emotional health and stay connected to Jesus in every season. To live connected to God. Not just once a week. Not just in moments of desperation. Not when you believe you're pleasing him, but in every single moment that you tend to your inner world and experience the abundant life that Jesus offers. I pray that you will really know him, that you will really know him, yielded to him, connected in your hearts, and thriving in your relationship with him. So my prayer is that you're on this spiritual journey of first knowing him personally. And you might say, "Well, Monty, how can I know that I know that I know him personally? How can I know that? How can I know that I know him personally?" And really the first step in that is just being obedient to him. You find yourself being obedient to him and to what he says to do. 1 John 2:3 says, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments," right? I didn't put this in your notes, but John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Listen, our deepest intimacy with God is found in obedience. Obeying God is where the joy is. Because obeying God is where we connect with God on the deepest level. And we know for sure that he's where the joy is. And really, one of the first steps of obedience, and I'll just kind of throw this out there this morning because we're going to do this in a couple of weeks. One of the first steps of obedience after you get to know him is baptism, right? And so we're going to have a baptism here, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday, the 27th. And I would just love for you to take that next step of obedience if you've never experienced believer's baptism. We believe in believer's baptism. And maybe some of you say, well, Monty, you know, I was dedicated, you know, as a child, or maybe I experienced infant baptism. And I don't want to, you know, negate what my parents, you know, had me do. And I would just say, no, I don't think that you know, negates that at all. Because when they had you do that, when you were dedicated or baptized, I think they were saying, one day we hope you choose Christ, that you would choose him for yourself. And so that's why we believe in believer's baptism, because every example of baptism in Scripture, and there are 27 of them in Scripture, every one of them are post-decision. They weren't pre-decision. They were after the decision was made. I'll show you one of them. Acts 2:41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So that's maybe a first step for you in being obedient, so that you can begin to understand that you really are growing and knowing in your knowing of God. For those of you who already know him and have already been baptized, you just got to get to know him better. Get to know him better. Get close to God. Do what God asks of you. Follow his word. Do what he's already commanded you to do. Right? Sometimes we struggle with wanting to know his will, and listen, just do what he's already commanded you to do. Are you loving your enemy? Husband, are you humble and serving to your wife? You see, it's the small daily yeses to God that you just keep stacking on top of each other again and again and again, so that you really know him. And that's my deepest prayer. Here's the second that we need to experience, and that is that we need to obtain clarity, that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. Now that I have the power of God in my life, now I can let God go to work on the issues in my life. You see, the first thing that happens when you open your life to God, you're going to start seeing things differently, much more clearly. You get a clearer picture of your life. You get a clearer picture of your relationships. You start seeing your past differently. You start seeing your present and your future differently. You start seeing other people and circumstances. You start seeing God differently. Everything changes in the way that you see, because you've got a new perspective. And things just become a lot clearer. You know, people say sometimes it's like the fog lifts, right? Or it's like the darkness goes away. It's like, you know, I got this new set of eyes. Somebody cleared the window for me. That's the very first thing that happens. And I hear that over and over from people when they open up their life to God. But let me just say this. You can get saved and still have heart issues. Right? You can get saved and still have addictions. You can get saved and still have, you know, unforgiveness in your heart. But it doesn't need to stay that way. The beauty is that you get saved and now you have the power to actually address that stuff. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. For out of your heart, that's where issues are, right? You got issues, I got issues, all God's children got issues. And as long as they stay there, right? And we all have them, myself included. As long as we stay right there, we can't have the next two things that Paul is praying about. So how do I get rid of those issues? And I think this is where a lot of people don't understand or even like the process, because God's answer to that question isn't, well, you and God work it out. That's not the solution. How do you begin to obtain, you know, that clarity and begin to get rid of the issues and become free of that stuff in your life so that your heart can become clear and you can begin to see? I think it begins with confession. Confession. It's really that next 18-inch journey. You know, the first one's from here to here. But once you know him, once you really know God, now you have the opportunity to begin to obtain some clarity, right? Begin to get rid of the issues of life. And the next 18-inch journey is from your knee to the floor. where you humble yourself and you begin to understand that your God is sovereign God, right? That He's in control. It's this act of humility, displaying your dependence and desperation for God to just show up. We need that desperation instead of just trying to handle things in our own strength. And as God's people, we have vast resources of power at our disposal, but we fail just to tap into Him. And so it begins with confession. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us. Purify our heart from all unrighteousness. That's the first step of obtaining this clarity, this ability to really begin to see and understand. But it doesn't stop there. Not only do we confess to Him, but James tells us, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, I'm not saying let's go out here and we're just going to start having a confession service right here. Everybody's going to stand up and confess right in front of all of us. But there's power in finding someone that's traveling on the same road that you are towards your God, that you trust, that you have a relationship with, that you can begin to share and confess to. Let me say it this way. There are a bunch of us, myself included, who carry around wounds and hurts and addictions and habits, all of us. I mean, I've got habits. There's areas of my life that I want to change and grow. And in God's system for me, He wants me to resolve those once and for all. And it's not just between me and God because, it's to be able to get with another person and to pray together and to share it and have the guts to confess it. And then a miracle takes place. And you get free from it once and for all. Get close to someone and get to know them so well that you have the confidence one day to say, can I just talk to you? I'm still so mad at my dad, or I'm still addicted to this or to that, and I just want to be free. And as soon as you do, you confess your faults to one another and pray for each other. The Bible promises healing. So I want you to really know God. I want you to obtain that clarity. And here's the third one that Paul prayed, and it's my prayer for you. Those two things are great, but here's what I want. I want you to be able to catch God's purpose for your life, that you may know the hope to which He has called you. To catch His purpose. When my youngest son Jake was just starting Little League Baseball, I was trying to teach him how to catch the baseball. It's one of the hardest things to learn when you start baseball. You baseball players, you understand that, right? And so I was trying to teach him. And so here's how, we practice and practice and practice, and I'd have him hold up his glove, right? And I said, just hold your glove there. When the ball hits your glove, just close it, man. Just close it, And so, here I am trying to hit his glove, and the ball's going whoosh, right by his head, and whoosh, I'm like, oh my goodness, So here's my plan. I put a helmet on him. He's going, Dad, you're supposed to wear a helmet when you bat. I go, well, we're going to do it. Well, I'm throwing too. He goes, I threw one. I threw a little pop-up, and he's holding his glove there, and boop. It's hard to hit that glove. But we just keep practicing. We just keep doing it, right? I keep throwing it, and I keep trying to hit a glove, and he catches one. He goes crazy, right? Oh, that's good. And so that whole season, we're just trying to learn to catch the ball. And so the last game of the season, right, we're up by one run. There's a man on second and third. Two outs. This is for the city championship, and we're all excited. The guys could care less, but we're excited as coaches and families, right? And so, we get there, and I look up, and Bubba walks up to the plate. Bubba. My little son's in left field. We're trying to hide him out there. And Bubba walks up. And Bubba cracks one, and it goes straight out the left field. And I do this. And little Jacob, rule follower, stands out there like this. And by some miracle of God, he goes into the glove and he squeezes it
and he makes the catch, and the ball game's over, and we win the game, and we go all out there, and we're hugging him, we're high-fiving him, we're picking him up. You know, it's like, you did it, you're the man, you're the man. And from that day on, the coach that was coaching with me nicknamed him the catch. So even today, if they see each other, you know, when he comes home or when he's here and they see each other, he says, how's it going, catch? You know, calls him the catch. And that's what I'm saying to you. I so want you to catch God's purpose for your life, to really get to know Him, to begin to obtain that clarity, you know, to get rid of the issues of life so that you can begin to catch God's purpose for you. And it takes practice, it takes, you know, other people helping, you know, but you can catch God's purpose for you. And listen, if you have not obtained clarity, well, then you can't catch God's purpose. You kind of have to clear the smudge of yesterday so that you can see tomorrow. Everyone in this room has a purpose. Every one of us have a God-given design purpose. Your life will never make sense, and you'll have problems in other areas of your life until you realign your life around God's purpose for your life. You'll never be happy until you find out why you're here, and then jump in and do it. Because the true secret to happiness is finding and living out your purpose for God today. I love what John Maxwell says. He says you need to do it today because it's too late for yesterday, right? And you can't depend on tomorrow, so let's live out God's purpose today. Today matters. As outrageous as it is, God not only sent His Son to die for our sins so that we could be reconciled with God, that heaven would be opened, you know, would be opened up so that we could spend eternity with God. If that weren't enough, God said, I'm also going to give you meaning for your life. I'm going to give you a purpose. I'm going to bring you some assignment in your life that's going to bring you adventure and fulfillment and joy and satisfaction like nothing else. Your purpose determines your dignity, how you feel about yourself. I mean, if you don't have a purpose for your life right now, you feel like you're just existing. Like, it's like, why am I here? What am I here for? Why did I get up this morning? Why do I go to work? What's the purpose of life? And when you begin to get God's dream, His purpose for your life, and begin to fulfill the plan for which He made you, then you will feel better about yourself. Really, nothing is more important after you come to know Jesus Christ than to get your purpose for your life. It's the reason you exist. It's your purpose for living. And when you don't have it, you just drift around. It's only when you discover why God made you and what He wants you to do with your life does God begin to make sense. There's nothing more significant than being what God made you to be, doing what God made you to do, thinking like God made you to think, and sharing in the greatest cause in this world, the advancement of His kingdom. There's no greater cause. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God had the purpose He wanted you to do first, and then He made you. I've shared this with you before. He didn't make you and say, I wonder what we're going to do with old Monty. He's bow-legged. His accent is weird. He squeaks. He's from Mulberry, for God's sake. He wouldn't say that. He would say, he's from Mulberry for my sake. For my sake. And as I begin to get clarity, I begin to go, he's right. I'm from Mulberry for His sake, for His glory. It's to be about His work that He's already prepared in advance for me to do. He has shaped us for a purpose. I shared with the students at camp that when Kim and I were about 25 years old, we volunteered and were chaperones at a summer camp for the students of our church. And we went to the mountains of Tennessee, and we were going through that week, and every morning we would have our quiet time. And one morning we were just sitting on the hills of Tennessee there, just on a little, it wasn't a mountain, it was like a hill, but I'm from Florida, right? So it was a mountain. And I'm sitting there, right? And in my quiet time and reading God's Word and my conversation with God, right? I just hear God impress upon my heart my purpose.
You know, it was like, Monty, I want you to share my love into the hearts of students and their families with passion. And I got so excited. And I go, that's it. Right? I'm supposed to share God's love and to families and to students. And I'm supposed to do it with a passion, right? And so the first thing I did is I run and I tell it to Kim. I go, Kim, you're not going to believe this, but this, listen, God just impressed my mind. And she goes, oh, you're not going to believe this, but he's sharing with me the same thing. That this is his purpose for our life. And so we're 25. We ain't got a clue, right? We go back and we just start. That's it. That's what we're going to do. And so we just start volunteering and continue to make ourselves available, right? God began to fulfill and do his purpose in our lives. And it was hard, right? I was trying to think, what do I do? You know, what's, you know, what can I do? You know, how can I fulfill, you know, to, how can I share God's love and, you know, with families and students and, you know, with passion. And about that time, Rick Warren threw out his SHAPE acrostic, right? SHAPE, spiritual gifts, hearts, passions, abilities, personality, experience, that you have to share, you know, you have to do God's purpose. It has to go through your SHAPE. I go, that's what I'm going to do, right? So we begin to think about what's my spiritual gifts, right? All of us, you know, Romans 12:6 says we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. You know, what is that spiritual gift, right? You know, every one of you have a gift if you're a follower of Christ that when you do it, it just makes sense. Let me say this, that when you do it, you think, I was made for this. And some of you have, you know, you have this great gift for task, right? You like to do task. You walk in this room this morning and you said, man, if I could just straighten these chairs, you know, I'd be in heaven if I could just straighten, you know, if I could just get. Some of you are that way, right? Others are going, I could care less, right? Some of you walk in here and go, wow, I want to do what money. If I could just stand on stage and speak and share, right? It would be awesome. Others of you going, I would vomit if I had to get up there and do that. Right? Some of you just love kids, right? You just know that, you know, you have this love for kids. You know, for little kids. Some of you even have love for middle schoolers. Praise God. Praise God. Some of you going, not me, brother. You get me to hang out with middle schoolers, you better give me some duct tape. Taking them babies to the chair. Right? We all have this spiritual gift. You can discover yours. You can go to our website. We have a spiritual gift survey there. Go through that survey, and it will tell you, you know, what's your spiritual gift, you know, the leaning that God has placed inside of you. You know, and then it's your, you know, your heart's passions. You know, find that purpose by doing the things that you love to do, that you're passionate about. You know, share God's love in your passions and in your abilities. That was a hard one for me. I don't have any abilities. And so I'm going, Kim, you know, how do I share, you know, God's love with children, students and family? You know, I don't have any abilities. And then I thought, well, I got one. I can catch grapes. I can throw grapes up as high as I can and catch them in my mouth. I know you're impressed by that, but it's true, right? It's true. And so I said, well, I'll just share my testimony around grape tossing. And I did. That's what I began to do. Every opportunity I had, you know, I would start throwing grapes and, you know, low and high, you know, and then I began to learn to, you know, I can juggle. I said, I'll juggle. And I just kind of shaped my testimony around the only abilities I have. And then your personality. My goodness, how does he use this personality, as weird as it is? And your experiences. I begin to think of all the opportunities of leadership that I had in high school and in college and then as an adult. All the, you know, the experiences that he had given me in the work world and, you know, in the church world. Listen, each of us have this unique shape, and he's saying, hey, you got to catch your purpose. You got to catch that purpose and begin to live that out for him. So that, the last thing Paul says, you can keep making a difference. That you may experience the riches of his glorious inheritance that he has for you and his holy people. To keep making a difference by sharing God's love, by using your shape, your purpose. That your life is joined with the rest of the saints, right? And you're making a difference. That you've found a place now because you know God and you obtained some clarity and you've got your heart cleared and you've caught what you're here for, you're right? And you're doing something significant that's making a difference. I just want to make a declaration to you. A lot of us are looking for joy. And a lot of you are trying to handle your stress. And by the way, part of your stress can be solved by not really fixing your stress, but putting something else in place of your stress. You need something in your life worth living for. And you'll forget you even have those issues, right? And that's a fact. Because, listen, real joy doesn't come from going to the beach. Now, that's fun. But real joy doesn't come from that. Real joy, doesn't come from your career or being successful. It doesn't come when you finally get that car that you've always wanted. No, real joy is whenever you, by the way you live your life, you make a difference in another person's life. Sociologists will tell you that the height of fulfillment comes when you are making a difference. Jesus said it this way in John 15. We looked at it a few weeks ago. He says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, and I remain in his love." And I love this part. He says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." It's as if Jesus is saying, "Oh, okay. If you'll make a difference, it'll make a difference for eternity." And God likes that a lot. But it will also do something in you. It'll put real joy in you. So listen, my prayer for you is, I want you to really know God so well, right? So personally, so intimately. I want you to obtain some clarity where we let our hearts just be healed, where we let our hearts be clear and focused. We settle that junk from yesterday once and for all so that we can discover the hope to which He has called us and we can catch His purpose for our lives. And then we can go out of here, right? We can walk out of here this morning and we can begin to make the biggest difference we can in your generation for His glory and for His kingdom. Let's go do that. That's my prayer for you. I don't know if you realize this, but really know God, obtain clarity, catch God's purpose, keep making a difference. The first letter of all those is ROCK. It's the rock way. It's the way of Jesus. And that's my prayer for us, that we will become a people that are so on mission for Him that we will live out Jesus' way for us. We will really know Him. Intimate and personal and forever way, that we will obtain some clarity in our hearts and get rid of the issues so that we can begin to catch His purpose, so that we can keep making a difference, so that we can keep growing, so that we can keep His kingdom growing, so that we can share His love with everyone with passion. Let's do it. Pray with me, please. And I'm going to pray this prayer over you again this morning. I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He called, His holy people, who are His rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. If you're here today and you need to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, would you just do that right now? Just pray this prayer. Just say, "Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me, Jesus. I've tried to go my own way, and today I'm surrendering completely to you. Be the Lord of my life, number one. And with all of my heart, I'm going to live for you. Come live inside of me. Change me right now. Help me to begin to live the rock way, the Jesus way. In His name we pray. Amen.